May the 17th, 1927, on the Place de la Concorde, in the heart of Paris. Georges Clemenceau has achieved his goal. Today's opening shows 8 works by his close friend Claude Monet. The former French Prime Minister fought for years to get them. Now, the oversized water lily paintings finally hang in 2 oval rooms on the first floor of the Orangerie, at that time still called Musée Claude Monet à l'Orangerie des Tuileries. One of the guests approaches Clemenceau.
Have you noticed, Monsieur le Président, that one of the paintings has a long cut?
Clemenceau is not surprised. In fact, several visitors to the first room have already discovered a conspicuous scar on the right side of one of the canvases. Clemenceau approaches the painting, Matin, or Morning. It's from a knife thrust. Clemenceau explains further. Monet often attacked his canvases when he was angry. It was an enormous physical rage that rose up in him. Whenever he was dissatisfied with his work, he was just as brutal with himself as he was with his paintings. Monet spent the last years of his life in seclusion in his garden in Giverny. His self-criticism and destruction knew no bounds. During his career, he would destroy over 500 paintings after completion. Almost every 4th painting in his oeuvre.
Around the turn of the century, Monet became one of the greatest painters in France. It was a long, hard journey, full of difficulty. But now, he finally has what he desired so much in his younger years. Money. At the height of his success, and in his Garden of Eden in Giverny, he is on the verge of becoming immortal. However, there is one person who could stop it all. I'm Alice Loxton, and your host for this podcast. You're listening to Monet, Centuries of Change. If you enjoy the podcast, please recommend us and give us a rating. Thank you. This is the final episode, Water Lilies and Self-Doubt. Monet always struck me as someone who was mainly convinced of one thing, himself. But where does this sudden self-doubt come from in his old age? Parisian art historian Marianne Mathieu.
Alors Claude Monet, c'est un artiste qui a décidé de passer les 20 dernières de sa...
Claude Monet was an artist who chose to spend the last 20 years of his life completely hidden and isolated. He remained in his house in Giverny. The water lilies, which are probably the artist's most famous works today, are works that were never exhibited during his lifetime. It's hard to believe today.
The water lilies are a series of paintings. They show water lilies in different states and at various times of the day and throughout the year. Monet painted them around 250 times.
Il est le peintre de l'atmosphère.
He is the painter of atmosphere. He is the painter of light. But he continued to innovate and reinvent himself again and again. In fact, by the end of his life, he was no longer really an impressionist. He had gone far beyond that.
Il n'est plus impressionniste. Il est allé bien au-delà.
Monet wanted one thing above all: to capture the immediate moment and the atmosphere in its rawest sense.
Nothing was left to chance. And here, he redefined what painting is. It was no longer an open window to the world. It was no longer a depiction of his perception, but rather had now become the creation of a purely pictorial space.
Mais elle est la création d'un espace pur, qui est un espace pictural.
A purely pictorial space, meaning a space that has little to do with the outside world anymore. Why did Monet's garden become so important to art history? What happened there? Monet, in his old age, studied plants, painting techniques, and colours. He analysed his works closely and even created his own varnish specifically for painting his water lilies. But when he went to the garden to look at the water lilies on the pond, he suddenly felt like he was failing.
Il est très têtu, il a un sacré caractère, ils ont tous les deux d'ailleurs.
A pretty stubborn character, that guy.
The biographer Alexandre Duval Staller.
Ils ont tous les deux d'ailleurs un sacré caractère, voire un mauvais caractère.
That stubbornness was pretty much his character. He was never satisfied, never had enough. And that was one of the reasons why he was such a brilliant artist. It was the search for satisfaction that created the genius that he was. He kept searching, always further and further.
D'ailleurs, il n'y a qu'à voir le nombre de nymphéas peintes.
But soon, that seeking might no longer be possible for him. His eyes trouble him. Monet had almost gone blind once before, mostly due to stress. Now, it's age. His friend Clemenceau advises him to have surgery.
Alors, il faut savoir qu'à ce moment-là, Claude Monet a un problème.
You have to imagine that at this point, Claude Monet was suffering from cataracts, which meant he couldn't see colours anymore. And that was a real problem. Imagine that happening to a painter who loved colours so much. Clemenceau, who was originally a doctor, advised him to have surgery. Problem was that there was no general anaesthetic at that time, so such operations were very unpleasant.
As was his eye, so was the whole man Monet, wrote Georges Clemenceau in his reflections and memories of his painter friend. And he continues, a retina that responded with ease to the most delicate sensations directed all sensory perceptions to the highest harmonies, in which we find an interpretation of all-encompassing interrelation. This phenomenon is probably the first characteristic of all masters of painting. Monet amazes us in that all the movements of life submit to it. Would Monet disappear along with his eyesight? Clemenceau manages to convince his friend to undergo the operation. But what was it that connected these two men?
Mêlé à la parce que c'est en fait il y a une double histoire. Il y a l'histoire de Claude Monet et de Clemenceau, mais il y a aussi l'histoire de l'impressionnisme.
Well, it's really two stories. There's the story of Claude Monet and Clemenceau, but there's also the story of Impressionism and the French Republic. After all, they were both sons of French history, growing up together. They both stood together against the empire and the spirit of the time, and they both ultimately triumphed together, both against official painting and against the reign of Napoleon III.
D'autre part, à l'empire de Napoléon III.
Alexandre Duval Staller has written about both men.
Ma manière d'écrire fait que j'écris effectivement des biographies croisées, c'est-à-dire à la fois.
I write crossover biographies, so classic biographies from birth to death. But they always focus on friendships, and these two had an extraordinary brotherly friendship.
Extrêmement fraternel entre Claude Monet donc et Georges Clemenceau.
Clemenceau worked as a journalist and later became Prime Minister of France. He had just defeated the Germans.
Alors en fait, ce qui se passe, c'est qu'au lendemain de la Première Guerre mondiale...
After World War I, Claude Monet sent a message to his friend Georges Clemenceau. He wrote, I do this for victory. I give France two paintings. They are decorations, namely water lilies. Shortly after, on his first day off, Clemenceau arrived in Giverny. They embraced, and Clemenceau said to him, These are much more than two paintings. This will be the masterpiece of your life.
Clemenceau lui dit, ça sera pas deux tableaux, mais ça sera 24, et ce sera le chef-d'œuvre, en fait, de votre vie.
What does this do to someone who was so plagued by self-doubt? Monet was thinking of giving up forever.
Clemenceau écrit une lettre à Monet en lui disant...
Clemenceau then wrote a letter to Monet saying, If you were giving me these paintings, I would have understood that you wanted to quit. But you are painting them for France. And so you cannot go back on your word. You must finish this project. By the way, the letters they exchanged are quite crazy. Clemenceau would say things like, My sweet angry brother, you must have sat on a nail this morning to be in such a bad mood. The letters are really very funny, very brotherly, and very affectionate.
Très, à la fois très drôle, très fraternel et très affective.
In 1922, Monet signed a deed of donation to the country of France.
Claude Monet va terminer en fait les nymphéas.
Claude Monet completed the water lilies without wanting to exhibit them during his lifetime. The public only saw them after his death.
December the 8th, 1926, in Giverny. Normandy is shrouded in thick fog. It is a sad, dreary day. A funeral procession passes through the village, led by the mayor. Many people have travelled from all over France, by car or train. Just for this moment. They're saying goodbye to the greatest artist of their time, to Claude Monet. 3 days earlier, he died of a lung disease. People gather at the cemetery. In the middle of the crowd, 85-year-old Georges Clemenceau. He looks at the coffin, and tears fill his eyes. The coffin is wrapped in a black cloth. Next to it is the pit from which the frozen earth was dug this morning. Suddenly, Clemenceau turns around. He makes his way through the silent, somber crowd towards a house. He steps through the door and enters the kitchen. With a jerk, he pulls the curtain from one of the windows. And returns to the grave with the purple fabric embroidered with flowers in his arms. He pulls the black cloth from the coffin and replaces it with the curtain. Then he takes a step back and says to himself, very quietly, No black for Monet. Thank you.
Monet s'éteint le 5 décembre 1926.
On December 5, 1926, he passed away. The first thing his son Michel did was to give the state what Monet owed them, the Orangerie centerpieces. They were delivered in February 1927 and inaugurated in May.
Et sont inaugurés en mai 1927.
At the time, few people had any idea of the legacy Monet truly left behind, and that this place would still be of great significance nearly 100 years later. It's no coincidence that Alexandre Duval Staller's office is located very close to the Orangerie, the place where Monet's water lilies are still displayed.
Je passe régulièrement devant, et c'est toujours pour moi. À un moment, il y a eu des manifestations à Paris.
I regularly walk past it, and it's always beautiful. Some time ago, there were riots in Paris, and it was feared that the Orangerie might burn down. My first instinct was to check immediately. It was late, 10 p.m., but I rushed over. I wanted to see what was going on. Luckily, there was no fire. But yes, I feel an emotional connection to the place.
Perfect. Okay, let's go. Bah. En fait, ce qui est assez amusant avec l'orangerie, c'est qu'elle est entourée de bruit.
It's quite funny about the orangerie that it's surrounded by so much noise. Right next to the Place de la Concorde, which is very loud. And then there are all the cars. On the other side, there's the Rue de Rivoli, where today only bicycles and pedestrians are allowed. But back then, it was almost like a highway. So you were really surrounded by a lot of noise. And the Orangerie seemed a bit out of place in that environment. But in reality, it was an oasis of peace, all alone.
Et tous ces boulevards, et ces quais, mais en réalité, elle est dans son havre de paix toute seule.
When the Orangerie was inaugurated after Monet's death with his works, very few people in the Parisian art world associated it with words like oasis and peace. Because the grand decoration, his large wall painting, caused a huge scandal. Maria Mathieu.
On considère que c'est de la raclure de palette, que c'est du papier peint.
They considered it palette scrapings, wallpaper. The attacks were just as intense as the criticism the artist endured in 1874 when he presented Impression Soleil Levant at Nadar's former studio. And so, this painting returned to the purgatory of art history. At that time, all the avant-gardists said it was an aesthetic and artistic dead end.
D'un suicide plastique et d'une impasse artistique.
In the Jardin des Tuileries, the palace park in the heart of Paris, at one end is the Louvre, and at the other is the Orangerie. In one, Monet painted from the old masters. In the other, his own masterpieces now hang.
Baladez dans le Jardin des Tuileries la nuit, en fait, il y a personne. Donc, et ces deux bâtiments sont là.
Yes, and when you walk through this park at night, when no one else is really here, these two buildings are there. A bit like two abandoned ocean liners filled with incredible riches from a world of yesterday. But they have something timeless about them. I don't know where else the water lilies could have been. Because if they were, for example, in the Louvre, even in the halls there, they would have been one of many works. But the Orangerie is like a jewelry box for the water lilies. It is a jewelry box, a beautiful jewelry box.
Un écrin magnifique.
Georges Clemenceau made that possible.
Clémenceau est persuadé qu'il faut pour cette œuvre un endroit unique.
Clemenceau was convinced that this work needed a unique place ever since he saw Monet's paintings at the Cathedral of Rouen. When he finally managed to convince Monet to donate them, he knew. Now is the moment. This painter is a genius of France. He now had this incredibly precious treasure and was looking for the perfect chest.
Is it thanks to Clemenceau that we still know Monet today, nearly 100 years after his death? Félix Cramer is an art historian and general director of the Museum Kunstpalast in Düsseldorf.
Monet ist schon ein Markenname und es ist faszinierend, wie stark Monet...
Monet is certainly a brand name, and it's fascinating how strongly Monet stands for the entire Impressionist movement, how he overshadows everything.
Dass er das alles überstrahlt.
Today, for many people, Monet is the one with the water lilies, the one who painted beautiful pictures.
Die Behauptung, dass Monet so ein Schönmaler ist.
And the idea that Monet is such a beautiful painter, that everything is kind of light and superficial, that's a 20th century invention.
Das ist ja eine Erfindung des 20. Jahrhunderts.
In this podcast series, we have heard about the battles Monet fought and the blows of fate he suffered. How he had to assert himself against the established conservative art world and against his father. How he lived in poverty, how he remained uncompromising and radical throughout his life. And yet, Monet was forgotten for decades. Why?
Ich glaube, hinzu kommt, dass Monets Radikalität auch darin begründet ist.
I think Monet's radicality is also rooted in the fact that art historians don't find much to work with. Some, like Cézanne, are a bit of the royal class of the late 19th century from the perspective of art history. These are always artists who give me, as an art historian, things to work with. And that's where I, as an art historian, can show off all my knowledge. I can say to the audience, okay, this comes from this figure, that comes from that treatise, and it puts me in a position of strength because I can share knowledge that others don't have. That doesn't work with Monet. With Monet, it's different. Monet doesn't orient himself to the past. He only looks to the present, and that is radical.
What does the future hold for Monet? Could it happen that he and his works will one day be forgotten again? Some of Monet's works are now housed in the Museum Barberini in Potsdam, Europe's largest collection of Monet's works outside of France. When Impression Sunrise arrived at the Museum Barberini in Potsdam at the beginning of my research, I noticed someone. A woman who was leaning over the painting for a long time, studying every inch of it.
Also, mein Name ist Felicitas Klein. Ich bin Gemälderestauratorin.
My name is Felicitas Klein. I am a painting conservator and have been working independently in my own restoration studio in Berlin since 2000. I've been working as a conservator for the Museum Barberini since 2017 when they opened, as well as taking care of Hasso Plattner's private collection. I also work for other museums that don't have permanent conservators. I take care of private collections and I work for people who have works of art that need restoration.
Ein Kunstwerk haben, was zu restaurieren ist.
Museums are the vaults where we safely preserve the art treasures of the past. Ms. Klein ensures that these treasures are maintained. She cares for and conserves the works of Monet, Cézanne, and Pissarro. Monet is a crowd magnet. Monet means impressionism. Monet paints, and we stand beside him, seeing what he sees. But the conservator has a different perspective on these paintings.
In seinem Schaffensprozess, wie er vorgegangen ist.
In his creative process, in the way he worked, there is an incredible genius. I don't mean this in the way an art historian might see it, but for instance, I can see that he rarely made an underdrawing because he clearly had the image in his head. You have to imagine, he sat down in front of the canvas and just started applying colors.
Vor die Leinwand gesetzt und hat angefangen, Farben aufzutragen.
This spontaneous approach to painting is now the foundation of what we understand as Impressionism. Through her work, Miss Klein has a direct comparison with how other artists of his time approached their work.
Normalerweise etwas zögerlichere oder unsicherere Künstler.
Usually artists were more hesitant, or less confident artists would make a precise underdrawing on the canvas. He didn't do that. Sometimes he would sketch something roughly with charcoal, but then he would dive right in. And that's something that I notice in almost all of his paintings and what really fascinates me. He's an outstanding artist, not just from an art historical perspective, but from my perspective as a conservator. Because his paintings, when not deliberately or accidentally damaged, were incredibly well preserved. They are over 120 years old, some even older. And other artists, his colleagues, didn't handle their materials as well as he did. Or they didn't invest in such high quality supplies. And for this reason, their works are much worse off.
Mit den Materialien umgegangen sind, auch nicht so gut eingekauft haben wie er, die viel schlechter erhalten sind.
Bridges and harbors. The sea and the ships. Forests and shrubs. Skies and clouds. Churches and parliaments. The water lilies. Railways and chimneys, the city and the countryside. Summer and winter, spring and autumn, war and peace, life and death. Victors and the vanquished. People. Claude Monet tells us about centuries of change. And if we look closely, we can see ourselves reflected in these stories and tragedies. Clemenceau quotes Monet in the final pages of his book.
I have done nothing more than look at what the world has shown me so as to bear witness to it with my brush. So is that nothing? Your mistake is wanting to reduce the world to your own standard. While your knowledge of the world grows, so does your knowledge of yourself. Let us help each other, hand in hand, to learn to see better and better.
This was episode 6 of Monet, Centuries of Change, with Alice Loxton.
A series by Yanis Gerhardt. Executive producer for the Museum Barberini, Carolyn Strands and Achim Klapp. Producer for Studio Yacht, Helen Feldmeier, Alex Hemson and Vanessa Neumann. Sound design, Sufian Auda and Fanny Huder. Mix and master, Fabian Klinker. Research, Irvin Hitzler and Max Raderstock. Translation, Florian Barmer and Olivia Parks. Recording, Ned Armstrong. Monet, Centuries of Change, is a production by Studio Yacht for the Museum Barberini, Potsdam.